Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Winter is in the air, Thanksgiving is nearly here, and for some that means it'll be time to trim the Christmas tree. Traditionalists will buy a real one, maybe cutting it down or opting for a live tree to plant later. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. How are you, Murph?
Doing well. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. So when it comes time to get a real tree, we can get them at the garden center, a big box store, even grocery stores have trees. What kind of trees species are we looking at when browsing those kinds of trees in those stores?
I think that the fir trees are the best trees. You get your balsam firs, you get your Fraser firs, noble firs. That's not that they're the only ones, they're just a personal favorite. They have the soft needle, they have the great fragrance, and they come in lots of shapes and sizes, so they kind of fit into decor a little bit better than your traditional Scotch pines and white pines and your short-needled spruce.
Is that what we used to see at those stores or in homes, were those kinds of trees? Are you saying our tastes have changed?
They have changed, and what is old is no longer desirable. So what is new and fashionable is more desirable. So the years ago when I was in high school, my father helped me get Christmas tree lot jobs all the time, and the primary trees were Scotch pine, Ponderosa pine. That they've become almost invisible as a Christmas tree, not available because they're popular as a live tree to plant. But the firs and stuff came along, and they're cleaner typically, and they have that kind of chameleon type essence that you don't get from some of the pines that are also a little on the messy side.
Sure. So what do you like, and what do you do for Christmas when it comes to a tree?
Well, we rarely have a single tree. We usually have multiple trees, and we'll have a live tree, and my wife, who's very artistic and handy at the same time, she's made a tree out of beech glass that we've collected from our time off the years, and we're really proud of that. And but we still kind of like the Charlie Brown Christmas trees, you know, and I think that the Charlie Brown Christmas trees are a kind of metaphor of all things have beauty. And makes it easy to hang ornaments also.
When you don't have it, when it's not really dense, you can get in there and hang the ornament on a branch.
Yeah, and I think some of the best presentations I've seen are the ones where the ornaments lay within the tree and they're not just covering the outside of it. I find that to be appealing.
Of course, at one point, the tree and a Charlie Brown Christmas actually drooped all the way over because of the weight of the ornaments. We don't want that.
That's not practical. That's right.
So how do we select a good tree regardless of the species? I'm talking about sort of rules that apply to any tree.
Well, I think the first thing that's important is the proper size. And then once you've kind of narrowed down the logistics on your Christmas tree selection, you can test to see how fresh it is by making sure the needles are firmly attached. So you want to give them a good tug, and they should not break free easily. And you want to make sure that you're not grabbing one that is hiding lots of broken branches because it has been wrapped, perhaps, for travel. And you also want to make sure that it's not up all bruised up. So what I mean by that is in the trunk areas and the bottom sides of the branches, which are exposed during bundling, you want to make sure they're nice and clean and just that the tree's not all banged up.
So you mentioned traveling and bundling. Where are these trees coming from that we buy in Central Illinois?
Well, from my experience only, first I can say most of them come from Wisconsin and Michigan, but I know that they come from the Dakotas. They come from all the places up north where they have the larger conifer farms. But when I lived and worked in the Chicagoland area, there were Christmas tree farms all over that area. But most of those are show up and cut your own tree type places.
So what are the steps to take once we get the pre-cut tree at home?
The best scenario is if you have a garage or a shop that would allow you to give your tree a shower in the stand. That's a best case scenario. If you can't do that, like most of us cannot, what you want to do is get it unwrapped and give it a good shaking, because it's going to be full of all kinds of crumbs and grit. So put the tree in a stand, give it a good shake, and let it stand up in the stand out in the cold for a night or two before you actually bring it in the house.
Does the shaking knock insects off? I mean, at this time of year, do we have to worry about insects at all?
I don't think you have to worry about it too much. You know, you could get a stray insect in there. But I think, you know, just think about this tree's been outside. And the last place it was before it came to your house was on a flatbed truck traveling down the road. It's going to be dirty. It's going to have stuff on it. So that's the best thing you can do is just kind of give it a good shake. And those branches oftentimes will settle in a downward position after the tree's unwrapped and upright in the stand.
What about going to a Christmas tree farm and harvesting one? Anything to keep in mind there?
I think that the distance of travel is important because you could select a really nice tree. Say you live here in central Illinois and you travel all the way to Morris or Ottawa. Well, you might have a little challenge getting that tree home without a new layer of ice and snow and whatever road residues on it. Plus, I'm a big fan of supporting the local farmers. You know, we do that when we dine out nowadays. And you might have to travel quite a ways to get a tree from a fresh-cut farm. So take the proper wrapping and bundling, because unless you have a pickup truck with a topper or a van, it's probably going to be strapped to the top of your car in a Christmas vacation postcard moment.
If someone's actually considering a live tree, what are some things they might want to take into consideration, some things they want to take care of pretty quickly?
Got to dig the hole first and put the soil somewhere where it won't freeze, because what's going to happen after Christmas or a day or two after Christmas, it's going to be time to take that tree and its soil ball full of roots outside and plant it. So you have to kind of take some precautions, like cover the hole to make sure that no one falls into it. And then you have soil that's workable and pliable. It's a project. It requires some dedication, no doubt about that.
And winter came on quickly in central Illinois. We have unseasonably cold temperatures. We also have some unseasonable snow. This would make everything a little more difficult to actually plant that tree, unless we get a warm spell here.
That's right. And, you know, the snow can go away quickly, but if you have the wheelbarrow or a couple of tubs full of the loose soil in your garage, it might be a little bit messy, but it's still doable.
So these trees are balled and burlapped?
They would have the wire cage, and then between the soil and the wire cage is some kind of burlap. I would wrap that whole ball in like a plastic bag or something so there's no wicking or dripping or any water weeping out of it, because it might thaw out in your house a little bit.
Sure, and to keep it moist.
So
you have to take that into account when you're talking about the total height.
That's right.
And again, nothing in particular we need to worry about as it concerns bringing a live tree in the house as opposed to one that's essentially dead that's been cut down?
Most of the guidelines that I have encountered give you about a one-week time frame. 1 week from bringing it home, putting it in the house, celebrating Christmas, and getting it out of the house and back into the ground. And again, I think that's something that requires some dedication, but it's worth doing. If you found a very exotic conifer that you've desired for your landscape, this is a good way to kind of be frugal and also advance your landscaping plans.
This is not an American tradition, but Christmas trees have been part of a Christmas celebration in North America for 240 years. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
My understanding is that the church, as it's referred to by Christians, adopted this from the pagans, and they did it to try and encourage them to become part of their flock. But nonetheless, the evergreen presence of the Christmas tree is one that is a sign of everlasting life, and that's kind of equates towards the European Christian narrative.
And it was brought over to this country by Germans and other Europeans
that settled
North America.
My understanding too, Mike, yeah.
If you have questions about Christmas trees, live or otherwise, you can submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about attracting and taking care of wildlife during the winter months. Anything that you're looking to actually attract to your yard, Patrick?
I just like the cardinals and the little warbler-type birds. It's just fun to watch. It's colorful.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.